children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And before I get into tonight's program, let me just mention that the end of this month, the 23rd, will be my last show on BBS Radio. For a while, I'm kind of taking a hiatus. I will be doing some occasional shows on Blog Talk Radio. And so I'll put up a page with a list where you guys can sign up on the list so that I can notify you when and where it's going to be. Because I'm trying to take some more time for myself to do some writing, which is hard to do if I'm reading somebody else's book every week. So anyway, I love you guys, and I hope that you'll follow me over there for a while and then come back with me when I come back to BBS. So we've just got two more shows after tonight. And tonight I have on Dolores Cannon, and if you listened to her last time, you know there's some pretty fascinating stuff that she has found out in her sessions, which she started as past life regressions with people. And, the secrets of the universe are there, where we're from, where we're going to, and all that kind of stuff. So it promises to be another fast hour tonight. So welcome to the show, Dolores.
Okay, welcome. I'm surprised that I've heard that you're leaving BBS.
Yeah, it's a combination of a whole bunch of things, and I love those guys tremendously, and they know it, and I know that they love me, and it's just, something's got to give here for a bit. And
yeah,
so
I know what
I'm,
you mean.
Yeah.
I've been with BBS for four years.
Yeah, I've been here the whole time since they started, so, yeah.
Yeah, me too. But, I'm always doing about 100 different things at once, too. So, it is hard to just devote your time to one thing. But,
yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with what you're going to do anyway.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really need to pay more attention to my books. I've written several books and haven't, done anything beyond writing them, basically, because I haven't got the time. So
yeah.
I've got to deal with that and making a transition from one thing, from treating people and, being the doctor and all that kind of stuff and going into being the writer is exciting, but, it's not something that I know how to do really. And so
I have to do it all too at the same time.
Yeah, and it gets a little rough and frankly I'm tired, I have been I have just been really running myself ragged in about too many, 15 or 20 too many directions at once. And I realized that, when you're like that, you can't give your best. And so I'm feeling the need to kind of back off for a little while. And when I go to Blog Talk, I will still have the Enlightened Medicine Show, but it'll be, kind of intermittent. Like I'll do maybe two or three per month, and they may not be on the same day all the time. They may not be the same time. And I'm thinking that during that time, I'm going to go more into a counseling format. So I'm thinking, instead of interviewing people all the time, I might interview somebody once a month. And then the rest of the time, it's going to be just, a service to help people that really need some help. And, people can call in and...
Because that's what I do with my practice. I'm a therapist, and I see people constantly with people have problems in therapy and counseling, so I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But
So I just figured, I would just, kind of slide out of here for a little bit and get myself into a more comfortable situation, because I'm getting to that point where I can't do everything. I just can't. So I decided it was time to, take stock of my position and kind of get real with myself. I'm always telling everybody else to get real, so it's time for me to get real.
everybody has their own, what do you want to call agenda and everything, and you get to know when you can't handle certain things, So there's nothing wrong with that, and you'll find what you're supposed to be doing. It'll even out.
Oh, absolutely, and I love Don and Doug so much, and I mean, they are just amazing guys, and you know, we're going to keep up our friendship, and maybe I'll actually have a chance to visit them at some point, you know, with taking this little hiatus. I haven't seen them for, gosh, it's been a number of years. And, you know, so basically, I'm going to work on myself, and, you know, felt that I really wanted to do that starting this year. And, by the way, Dolores, can you talk a little bit louder? I think you're coming in pretty soft there.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me raise the volume on the phone here.
Yeah, maybe that would help.
Okay, is that going to be better?
Sounds better to me. Let's see what Seth says.
Okay, yes, Seth is the boss.
That's right. He's got to tell us what we're doing and when we're doing it.
Yeah, I always ask him the same thing. Is the sound okay?
He says he's going to call you back. He's going to try for a better line.
So, oh, well, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, I can hear you a little
soft.
Bit. Yeah.
Okay, we'll blame
he's writing.
The,
he's writing something else. So let's see.
We'll blame it on the snow.
Oh yeah, could be. He says good quality, just quiet. So okay, so Seth's going to call you back, and in the meantime, I'll tell the listeners what's up with with my leaving, and we'll get you back in just a minute here. Okay. Okay, listeners, so what the deal is that, you know, it was really funny. At the beginning of the year, actually in December, I felt the energy change, and I said, you know, I really kind of want to pull my energies in this year. I want to work on me. I want to work on developing my writing and get the books out and all that kind of stuff. And I was getting a little frustrated because having to read someone else's book every week and, you know, come up with some interesting questions to ask them takes a good amount of time. And so for me, it was really difficult to try to fit everything in. And then there's been the thing with the recession and everything else that hit us here in Sedona really, really hard and hit me particularly hard. So it's a combination of that, too. It's like, you know, if I had enough sponsorship to take care of it, that would be one thing. But this has been a labor of love that's come out of my pocket and out of Don and Doug's pocket for the entire time. And some of you that know from the start, I was with another station that cost me basically $500 a show, and they never got my sponsorship package together to begin with, so I never got a sponsor. That was completely out of my pocket. And so, you know, I did this because God told me to go do it. So I said, okay. And Don and Doug have been absolutely amazing. BBS is the place to be. And, you know, I finally got to the point where, you know, if I don't do something, there's nothing left for me to give.
Okay, I'll hang up again until you see if it's okay.
Yeah, sounds better to me. Let's see what Seth says because he's the judge on that. So basically something had to give, and I decided that you know, after talking with friends and family and with Don about it, you know, we kind of all came to the same conclusion that I really need to kind of step back for a while. So that's what I'm going to do. Uh-oh. Did we lose her, Seth? She was good. All right, we'll try again. Well, we'll eventually get this one on the road tonight. So basically, it's a combination of a lot of things. But, you know, the thing that was really funny was when I decided in December I was going to pull back and kind of really be the hermit this year and just work on my writing, all of a sudden I have a friend who wants me to schedule a bunch of lectures for him. And then I've got three sets of people that are coming to visit for a minimum of a week at a time. And I'm ending up with people being here all the time, which is really kind of funny because that wasn't my plan. You know how we plan and God laughs. And so basically I kind of, you know, I went, what's really going on with this? And as I stepped back and looked at my life and the things that I wanted to accomplish, I realized I can't do that with keeping things the way they are. So I have to do this change. So my happy medium is to go to Blog Talk Radio for a bit and, you know, work on the format that I want to end up with because, you know, it came to the point where I could either keep interviewing really interesting people or I could write my books. But I can't do both. So that's what's bringing this whole decision in. So, you know, it's it's kind of hard because I love you guys, you know, and I don't want to lose my audience. And I love giving you information that you really need. I'm just going to change the format a little bit for a while. And I'll still interview the fascinating people every now and then. But I think that what's really necessary, because people are in such a hard state right now, it's really going to be more important for me to help people with counseling. And so anyway, that's what the change is all about. So I've got two more shows after this one. The 23rd will be the last show. And I will put up a page, you know, with the sign-up list. You will have to sign up on the list. And then what I'm going to do is email you to let you know when I'm going to have a live show. It will most likely be somewhere around the 6 o'clock range, 6 p.m. Pacific. And, you know, I'm not sure what day it's going to be yet. Might be a Wednesday, might throw a weekend in here and there. It's going to depend on what my schedule is and what I have to do. That's why I need you to sign up on the list. So I'll let you know when that list is available for you to sign up on. I've got to go, and that's the other thing. I haven't been able to deal with my websites because I haven't had the time. So anyway, that's what that's all about. So do we have Dolores back yet? Maybe not. Uh-oh. Not yet. All right. Must be that storm. Well, hopefully we'll get Dolores Cannon back on, because my plan is to really have some interesting information put out here. So we're calling her and she can't hear. Okay. Well, you know, there's all these glitches that just keep happening. And, you know, of course, if you're back east, you already know there's a hell of a storm out there. And I talked with one of my friends back east, and he was telling me that they just got, I think it was 3 feet of snow, and there's another 3.5 to 5 feet of snow coming in tonight. That's pretty intense. For those of us out here in the west, we're all kind of scratching our heads and going, snow? What the hell is that? Of course, we suffer in the summertime, you know. We have way, way too much heat here. And, you know, it's got me worried today because I went out to do some errands, and it was pretty decently warm, actually. And, you know, it's strange weather patterns. And, by the way, I've been writing about that, and I've written an article called Potato Strangeness also. I will have those posted on my website once I get everything rolling with that. That's the other thing. My doctor website is up, but not active. So you can go there, but, you know, we haven't got the stuff put together yet. And my web person that was going to do that just lost her entire email list and her website. So I've been left going, that's another learning curve. So I have to keep learning all this stuff about the internet and these different websites and things. I really do need to do it myself. So I have several websites, and they're all on different types of systems. So I've got my work cut out for me, which was one of the things that prompted my need to not have to do something every week. So basically, we'll see how it goes, you know, and I hope you guys will follow me over to Blog Talk and then follow me back here whenever I can come back here. But it takes a huge time commitment, so, you know, I need a few more hours to myself than I have had. And if you can imagine, some of these books that I've brought to you have been really thick. And let me see what Seth is saying here. Yeah, Seth, go ahead. Go ahead and try calling her live and see what we get. So hopefully we can get her back. And we'll give that a try. And let's see. Nothing yet. Okay. Well, we'll keep trying. Okay, so the format that I'm going to go for on the new show, as I said, is going to be mostly counseling, but it's going to be not just psychological counseling. It'll be that too, but it's really more, you know, the spiritual, intuitive counseling, which brings me to something that happened this week. You know, there's a difference between being a psychic and being an intuitive counselor. And the difference is that a psychic will normally, like, grab onto whatever it is that you've asked and come up with, you know, yes, no, maybe, you know, or tell you what's going on behind the scenes. An intuitive counselor has psychic moments, but doesn't try to force them. So instead what you get is you get the feelings and you get the counselor knowing where you're coming from. Or they might ask a few questions to clarify, but it's a different process than a pure psychic. And, you know, I do some counseling on a couple of live advice websites. And I had somebody that was very upset because I was not a psychic. Now, like I said, I have psychic moments, you know, and have been that way ever since I was a kid. But I don't put myself forth as a psychic because I don't feel comfortable with charging for that when I know it's on and off. And I'm really not interested in doing it 24/7. So it was just kind of an interesting thing because I had somebody else that tried to get me to advise them and really wanted to know if this woman he was seeing had sexual feelings for him. And I said, I think you need a psychic. And it just cracks me up. It's like, yeah, you call a doctor because you want to know if somebody that you like likes you. It just blows my mind, you know. So basically, one of the things that I'm going to be doing with this new format will be, you know, just helping people with whatever's going on in their lives, you know. It'll be kind of like a down-home chat, you know, a little group chat with whoever tunes in. And we'll see if we can help each other. Because right now it's really, really important to help each other. And if you haven't found that in your life yet, look for some instances. And when somebody asks you for something, look at them with a soft heart. You know, and think more along the lines of kindness. If you can do a kindness, don't think about what it's going to bring to you, because that's not the way the energy is anymore. And so what we need to do is just do kindness. And the best way I can describe that is think about it. If you were a little kid, a sweet little kid, and somebody said, you know, I need some help with this, then you would say, okay, and it would be like a game. So I think that's going to be, you know, something that's going to come out more and more. And I find it myself. I find it with my friends here. And the only thing that I can say is this is the change that we're looking for. So please think about kindness. We'll see if we get Dolores this time.
Hello?
Live radio. Oh, there you are. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on there.
I don't know. I guess I had to tell them whatever I told them. You know how that works.
Well, I got a fireplace going on. I was kind of coughing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you kept ringing and ringing, and nobody was on your side anyway.
Wow, that's amazing. So we're good now.
You probably should have kept on going, even though it was light.
Yeah.
Is it better now?
I think that we're doing okay. Seth is madly writing on the chat here. Seth, are we okay? And hopefully we are. Okay, quiet, but good. So maybe you just have to speak up a bit.
Okay, because it kept ringing and there was nobody there. Okay, anyway, the gremlins are at it again.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and see what we can get in here.
Okay. All right. So, you know, the last time that we talked, you had so many fascinating things going on with these people that you had taken into regression, not going into past lives anymore, and starting to talk about their lives on other planets and what's going to happen. And you know, of course, everybody wants to know what's going to happen in the future.
Well, that's what they, you know, the ones that I work with on the other side, you know, I called them they, but it's actually, it's a very big power. It's the subconscious mind, but it's not the subconscious the way it's defined by the psychiatrist.
Right.
You might call it the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness. That's what I work with, and it comes through every single person that I work with. That's the amazing thing. We're able to have access to all information, everything that's out there. So when I've gone into this stuff about what's going to happen and, you know, all these things, they've given me a lot of information, but they said even they don't have all of the answers. because mm-hmm. this is the first time this has ever happened in the history of the universes. So nobody knows. We're still kind of playing it all by ear. But they have given me a great deal of information, but still it's going to be all up to the human race where it all goes.
You know, and I firmly believe that. And that's one of the things I started talking about the last year that I was out around the country on tour and telling people, listen, you know, quantum physics shows us that we can change things. We can make
oh, yes.
the world the way that we want it to be. It's up to us.
Yes.
And so, you know, things are not the way that they used to be, you know?
They're definitely not. Everything is changing. It will never go back to the way it was. But that's what I'm always telling my clients and when I'm lecturing, too, is that you create your own reality. Everybody does. Everything that happens in your life, you have put there, you have created. And, of course, you draw to you what you fear because everything is energy. And anything you focus on, you give it energy and you create it. So the idea is to try to create a good world, you know, a world where there's peace and there's wonderful things happening. But it all
yeah.
depends on what you focus on is what's going to be your future in your life or how anything that you're going to be going into.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, the focus, the intent, the belief that things will
yes.
be better is so, so important. And, you know, people get stuck in the what-ifs, you know, or, well, this happened, you know, back then, and so everything's going to be exactly the same. And, I mean, I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall sometimes and telling people it's going to be what you believe it's going to be.
Yes. And
so
that's what
I think,
you mean by the focus.
Yeah.
It's the intent and the focus. And you can have absolutely anything you want in your life. There are no limitations. Anything, money, if you want a bigger house, if you want a car, if you want a good job, all of that is possible if that's what, for your future, because it's all in what you can create. And they have told me one of the greatest lessons we've come to Earth to learn is how to manipulate energy, because everything is energy. And mm-hmm. the greatest lesson is to learn how to manipulate the energy to create what you want. So this is one of the things we're supposed to be learning. We're not at the whims of, you know, what if and whatever like that. You can create absolutely anything you want in your life. It sounds easy, but I've proven it over and over again. This
yeah.
is the way I run my career and my company. We've learned how to manipulate the energy to create what we want. And anybody could do it.
Well, why don't you give listeners an example of how to do that? Because I know they're all sitting on the edges of their seats right now going, well, tell us.
All right. Well, the first thing, whatever you want in your life, now we're going into the individual instead of the broader, you know, what's going to happen to the country, what's going to happen to the world. That is bigger. But if
mm-hmm.
you want to focus on your individual, and that's where most of us are focused anyway. We all want to have a better life. But if you want to focus on what it is you want, you can create it. But first you have to know what you want. I have a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, but I don't know what I want.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you don't know what you want, you're just going to get anything that comes around because the universe won't know what to give you. But if you know what it is you want, and you can see it, you can visualize it, you have to have it because this is the law of the universe. This is the way the universe works. But first you have to be able to see it in detail. The more detail you can put into this goal, this dream, whatever it is, even if it's physical things, what how much detail you can put into it as you picture it in your mind, it makes it come alive. And that's how you create your reality. You have to see it in detail. And by that, I mean you've got to hear things. You've got to hear people talking in whatever you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to put a lot of detail into it to give it life. And this is the law of the universe. And money is the easiest thing to create because the one law of the universe is the law of abundance. There will always be enough for everybody. You don't have to worry about taking away from anyone. But whenever you're creating, you don't worry about how it's going to happen. You create it by seeing the end result. You see the goals, the dream, whatever it is you want, you see it as already done, already accomplished, already there. You see yourself in the middle of whatever it is, doing what it is that you want to create. This gives it life, but you don't worry about how it's going to happen because people say, oh yeah, I'd like to have this house, I'd like to have this job, but I got to do this and this and this to get it. No, you don't. You don't focus on that. You focus on the end result. If you're saying I have to do this and this to get it, you are limiting the universe. You are saying, well, this is the only way it can happen. If you see the end result and give it over to them, they will do it in ways you can never imagine, ways that you could never, ever think of. They will go over and under and around it to give you what you want because they know how to do it. But the other way, you're saying, I have to do thus and such. You are limiting them. So when I want to create something, I just say, okay, guys, this is the next project. Take it and do it and run with it. And then I sit back and watch the magic. And it is magic when it happens. But when you're creating your reality, there's two rules, there's two laws that are very important that you must not break. When you are trying to create what it is you want, you must never create anything that is going to harm any other individual. It must always be positive. Anything that you're going to create. And you must never create anything by taking away from somebody else. Those are the two most important rules in creating your reality. For instance, if you say, I want that job, but in order to get it, that person's going to have to be fired for me to get it. That's creating karma. Mm-hmm. That is you're taking away from someone else. So those two rules are very important. But if you do this and learn how to visualize it and give it life, you can have absolutely anything. There is no limitations.
And you know, that brings up another question. What about the people who have been done wrong so much in their lives and their mind keeps going back and ruminating on how they've been screwed over time and time again and everybody that they meet is out to get them and all that kind of stuff. Aren't they doing the same thing? They're asking for that same thing to keep happening to them?
They are focusing their energy on that thing. As long as they do that, it will stay alive. They are giving it life by returning to it again and again and remembering it. The best thing they can do is let it go. It serves no purpose. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Release it. Forgive the person who did it to you and just release it and let it go. Otherwise, you will keep drawing the same thing to you again and again and again. And it serves no purpose. Just makes you go round and around in a circle. But that's why you have to look at it and say, okay, what did I learn from that? What was that trying to teach me? And if you really look at it, everything has a lesson that is trying to teach you. Only if you don't understand it, it's going to keep happening again and again. Just like a lesson in school. You know, you have to take it over and over again until you finally figure it out and say, oh, now I got it. Mm-hmm. But I always ask people, everybody has bad things that happen in their life. That's life. Mm-hmm. But what did you learn from it?
Yeah.
If you learned one thing, that was the purpose of it. If you say you didn't learn anything, well, then you're going to have to repeat it until you figure it out. So people keep drawing the same situations to them again and again, the same type of boyfriend, the same type of husbands, the same type of wives, same type of bosses, because they haven't figured it out yet. And you will keep attracting this because you're giving it energy.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of when I got back on my spiritual path many years ago at a fire walk.
Uh-huh.
And I had this teacher who was just a hoot, you know. And he was pretty flawed, but he was a hoot. And
okay.
I was working on anger issues at the time, and I said, you know, how do I get rid of this anger? And he said, it will serve you until it doesn't. I was like, what? What the hell kind of an answer is that? He gave me one of these looks, and he said, it will serve you until it doesn't. And, man,
yeah.
I puzzled about that for like a year. I was working on that whole anger issue for solid for a year. And then all of a sudden, I got it. You know, that every one of these things that we go through has a purpose.
Uh-huh.
And that we do have control over it. And like, I really worked on just not getting angry. I worked on bringing peace within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And really focusing within and really paying more attention to me than I did to anybody else. And that cleaned up a whole lot of things. Of course, you still have to deal with people that are jerks. You know, you still deal with people that are trying to eat your lunch, you know.
That's what people don't understand is that you set up these things before you ever come into this life. You
mm-hmm.
set up these things for tests. And a lot of times the one who has done you the most wrong was your best friend on the other side, on the spirit side.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, let's go back and I'll do this. I'll play the villain this time around. Because this is just a play anyway. That's all it is. It's just an illusion. Mm-hmm. You can change the roles around any way you want. And this other spirit will say, okay, I'll come back and I'll be the villain. I'm going to do thus and such to you and as a test to see what you're going to learn from it. And if
mm-hmm.
you look at it that way, sometimes you'll see they did you a great favor. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't see it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was talking to one of my teachers years ago about my mother, and I said, I don't know what's going on with her, but it's like, you know, I can't do anything right for her. And, you know, she treats me differently than she does the other kids, and I've never understood that. And the guy I was talking to said, you know, when you're on the other side, if you have to learn a particular lesson, and it's vitally important for the next stage that you have to go through, whether it's on this earth or whether it's in spirit, whatever, and you have to learn this lesson this time around, and you decide that's it, you know, this time I'm going to get it, would you pick somebody who is your fair weather friend, who is going to let you slide, or would you pick the nastiest person on this side, not on the other side, but your best friend who is really a hardliner, who will be the nastiest person who will make you toe the line and learn that lesson. And of course, you're going to take the hard one. Now, on this side, we would say, oh, hell no. On the other side, we know that this is just a game. And so you're going to pick whoever it is.
On the other side, it always looks so easy.
Oh, it does.
You're making your plan, you know, and you'll say, oh, I can do that. That don't look so hard. You know, emotions, what are they? Love, anger, jealousy. I can do that. That's not no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy over there. But then when you get here and you're in the middle of it and you feel the emotions and everybody else has got their emotions and their plan clashes with your plan, it isn't as easy. But we do set these things up, and we arrange them. Even though it doesn't make sense, you arrange to be born into a certain family. You pick your parents, and you arrange to be born into a family where somebody's going to abuse you and hurt you as a child. I've had many cases of that in my work. And then whenever they begin to explain it to them, they'll say, all right, what did you learn from that? And during the session, it'll come out that they were taught how to be a survivor,
mm-hmm.
how to overcome the bad things. And, of course, some people don't, and then they have to come back and do it again. They're still in the victim mode.
Yeah.
For me, look what happens to me. But otherwise, they were taught to survive, but they said, as a child, you don't understand that because you're only a child. All you know is you're not happy. But when you look back on it later, they have taught you a very valuable lesson.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had people get so mad at me when I've tried to explain to them how it is on the other side. And I've told them, yeah, you chose this to happen. And they get so belligerent, so angry, of course, because they're still in the victim mode, you know.
Yeah.
And they are vehement about how they would never have chosen this life. And they got a raw deal and yada, yada, yada. And I just, you know, at that point, I just shrug and I tell them someday they will understand it. But, you know, unless they've had a near-death experience or they've, you know, traveled a lot out of body and you know, remember being on the other side, they're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they continue to think that, you know, it's been done to them without their permission. Well, maybe it's not, they haven't given their permission in this life, but they certainly have on the other side.
Well, when
and
they're doing that, I always tell them, if you don't understand it, if you don't learn it, forgive these people for what they've done, you're going to have to come back and do it all over again with the
mm-hmm.
same people, and it may even be worse next time. They say, I don't want to do that. Well, then I said, you better work it out now. You better forgive these people now and release it and let it go, because that's the way a school does. If you don't complete a grade, you've got to come back and do it again.
Absolutely.
So you have to look at these things from a little different viewpoint. You'd be surprised how your life will change.
You know, it happens with animals too. You know, and when I got my two present cats, when I got the little guy, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the reincarnation of one of my favorite cats.
Oh, okay.
And what really cracked me up was when I got a companion for him a week later, and she's the reincarnation of a cat that he loved. But she hated him. And, in fact, she ran away from home because she hated him so much. And so I laughed my buns off when I saw this going on. And I looked at him, and I looked at her, and I said, you know what? You didn't like him in your last life either. And look what happened. Now you're stuck with him again. So, like, you better learn it this time.
Because he didn't get it straightened out. You know?
Yeah. And now she tolerates him now, but it's pretty funny.
But, you know, that's in my last book, too. I have a whole section on people who, when I'm doing the past lives, they go back into lifetimes when they were animals, they were plants, they were rocks, they were everything. And that's what people don't understand. You have to be everything before you're done. And I'm still getting cases like that, but I have a lot, you know, after they go through the death experience and people, and they're on the other side, and they have to go before a board, and they do a life review on the life they've just left. And they tell them, well, okay, you did all right here. That's a good point. You didn't make some mistakes over here. You do a life review.
Mm-hmm.
That's done all the time. Well, I just had a case a few days ago where the man went back to where he was an ant. He was a bug. He was an ant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going through all the things that an ant would do, living in an ant colony in an old hollowed out log, and he goes through the entire lifetime, and he goes to the other side, he's met just like people are, and he goes before the board, and they do a life review. And I'm thinking, gee, I wonder what a life review of a bug would be.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. They said, yes, you learned some very valuable lessons. You learned how to work in a group. You learned how to take care of each other and provide food for each other. So you learned valuable lessons. Now let's think about the next one you're going to go into. So every life, even if on that small the scale, you're learning something. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, my first near-death experience that I had conscious recall of, you know, I could have left when I was very young.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I could have died when I was a toddler, basically, and I would have had everything done. And they showed me that. And I said, wow, that's all I came to Earth to do? And it was just to experience being in that family group. That was it.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, made some sense, you know, with the things I was doing, because I used to race out in front of trucks and, you know, because I knew I could beat them. And the only reason that I stopped was because the last guy almost had a heart attack because he barely missed me. And
whoa.
I was fine because I knew, you know, I could beat the truck, not a problem. And my parents were so distraught. And I thought, you know, when it came later, when I had the near-death experience when I was 24, they showed me all this stuff, and I said, wow, why have I been sticking around? And they said, well, you know, you kind of chose to stay around, and, you know, you wanted to play and things, and it's fine. They said, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you want to stay here, or do you want to go back? And I said, well, let me go back. Maybe I can help and not forget who I am and why I'm here. They said,
yeah.
Okay, but they said, let us show you how it's going to be, because it's going to be really hard. And I said, ah, no big deal, piece of cake, send me back in. And they're like, are you sure? I said, yeah, send me back, coach. You know. And then I was back in the body going, ah, crap.
And yeah, so, I've had a lot of cases like that where they give you a choice, and then when you do it, it's like, what was I thinking of? But,
yeah.
You know, I've had some clients come to me, and they have lost a child or they've lost a loved one. They want to know, why did they have to die? Now, we only see it on this side from our viewpoint. Of course, we love the person. We don't want them to leave. But they say, we're just thinking of ourselves. But when I do the session and we ask that question, they always say the same thing. Oh, their work was finished. That's all they came in to do, just be here a few years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a deal they had made with the parent, maybe to teach them something, and then also by dying young, they were going to learn a different kind of a lesson, you know, a definite lesson that would affect them, because we all are affected by the death of loved ones. But that when they're the person who dies, the child or whatever, they say, well, I was done. You know, there wasn't any reason to stay around any longer. One of them gave a very good example. They said, okay, suppose you had a life where you had learned just about everything you had to learn. You had gone through the equivalent of, you know, kindergarten, grade school, high school, college. You were getting ready to graduate when that life ended. Well, you come back again to finish up. Does that mean you're going to have to start all the way over again from kindergarten? It not necessarily. You may come in and just finish up the last term of college. And that's all you need for this lifetime, and then you're ready to go on. But, we don't see these things because we're caught up in the emotion, and that's all right because that's the human part of us.
Well, yeah, and sometimes the spirit will come in just for, like, the dying scene.
Yeah.
And we had that happen with my dad. He actually left his body about a year before his body died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty funny because I noticed that, and I told my mom, I don't know who you're sleeping with, but it's not my dad. She freaked out. She always thought I was a little weird anyway, but she said, what are you talking about? I said, no, he left his body.
Uh-huh.
She said, well, who's in his body? I said, I don't know, but he's got his memories, but it's not him.
Yeah.
And then my dad came back.
He was like just holding it for a while then, I guess.
Yeah, and so he went through the difficulties and stuff because my dad just didn't want to suffer anymore. And then the last couple of hours before he died, he came back. And
uh-huh.
So he was there with us, you know, for the actual dying. And then it was maybe a year after that, I was meditating, and I told my mom, you know what? Dad came back, and he's a highway patrolman in California, and he hates it. And she just looked at me kind of funny, and she said, you know what? He had thought about doing something like that, and he said that he would hate to have to do something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was so interesting. That she would be that aware of it, because she's never really been aware of all that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, see, it does make it more complicated for people to understand, because we are living more than one lifetime at the same time.
Yes.
This is the way the soul learns more than just, but we only focus on this lifetime because that's all our minds can handle. But actually, we are living all our past lives, all our future possibilities, and parallel lifetimes at the same time.
So yeah, and have you found, Dolores, that more people are noticing that they are actively living two or three lives at the same time now?
I don't find it that they consciously know it. I've only had a few people. One woman said she kept, like, peeking in on this life where there was a woman in New York who was living a totally different life than she was. And she kept saying, it's so strange, you know, I feel like I know her, and she knew her, she had a different job and children, and she kept peeking in on it, and she didn't know what was happening. And during the session, they told her it was a parallel life. But they said, don't try to locate this woman, because that is not the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to really physically ever meet, because the other person wouldn't understand it anyway.
Right.
But do you mean like that? They are becoming aware of it?
Well, like I oftentimes know that I am living in two or three different places, and while my consciousness is in this place, sometimes I'll slip into it real quick, but most of mine happens like when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm completely aware that I am in a completely different place and that I'm actually living that life. And it's still me. I'm not looking at somebody else wondering why I know them. It's like, no, it's me. I'm wondering where this place is.
Yeah.
And so I have one place that I go to that is a very shoddy version of the United States. Things are not in good repair. It's like there's no electricity, but yet there's all the appliances there like there was electricity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have the modern conveniences, so you just can't keep the places clean, and, you know, people aren't used to using brooms and things, you know. and so it's one of those things. Then I have another one where I actually live right on the ocean in this beautiful little town, and there's a big city, you know, a ways away, but everybody is really sweet to each other. It's completely different than here. And then I have another one where I'm like a super spy or something, you know?
Yeah.
And when I slip into these lives, it's like, whoa, it's kind of disorienting, you know, because it'll happen like in a blink. And then I realize that I'm in there because I'm having to correct something.
Uh-huh.
And that my full consciousness is not there most of the time. But the difference is that this consciousness apparently is farther ahead than the other consciousness. Or the other
because
parts
you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Because you're aware of what's happening and they aren't. But
yeah.
You know, you were talking about where they didn't have the appliance, the electricity and everything. Maybe you're seeing an alternate future.
Well, it could be.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I decided I don't want to be in that one. Those people are not nice. I go hang out in the one where everybody's loving.
I tell people, they don't realize it, but every night you go out of your body.
Yep.
And you travel, and you have all kinds of adventures. You can go into the future. You can go anywhere on Earth you want to go, and you go back to the spirit side. You can go to other planets. You're doing this. Everybody is every night because the real part, you know, the soul, the spirit, doesn't sleep. The body
right.
is the only thing that needs sleep. And, you know, the real you would get awful bored sitting around waiting for you, the body to wake up so it could get on with its work.
Absolutely.
So while you're sleeping, the real you is off having all kinds of adventures. We just don't remember unless we remember dreams of flying or dreams of strange places. But also, many of us are doing work at night like this when we're out of the body. Very important
oh, yeah.
work. And we don't remember it.
Yeah, I get glimpses of that sometimes, but because I know I spend a portion of my time down in the really dark realms doing rescue work, and it's really funny because it's like when you look, there's nothing you can see. It's completely black.
Oh.
There's no light whatsoever, but when there is light, it's like the tiniest little flame can be seen a long ways away. because it's so dark there. And I find that I go into there as kind of a, kind of like an enforcer, you know. I go in there, I grab somebody that's gotten taken, and I'll pull them out. And okay. I've had a couple instances lately where I got chased, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm riding a bicycle, you know, and it's dark. You can't see a thing. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm on the road. I hope I'm on the road. I had no idea how you're supposed to figure out where you're going in this place. But I kind of went, well, you know, it's kind of like when I was in the jungle. And we took our shoes off because our flashlights died, and we're in the deepest, darkest jungle, and we had to get back. So the teacher said, all right, your feet know what to do. And so I'm going, feet, don't fail me now. <You know? laughs> And we took off at a dead run through the jungle, and it was down in Belize. So there's 56 varieties of poisonous snakes, and there's tiger thorn trees where the needles are so strong, but they're only hair thin, so you can't see them. So if you grab one of those, they pierce your hand the way through. Yeah, and I'm running through the jungle like that, barefoot. And I said, I hope to God I never have to do that again. We all made it, but oh my God, it was something. And pardon?
You are braver than I am, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't.
Well, I didn't
that.
Have any choice. It was either that or, you know, sit there until daylight, you know. So we were like, well, okay, let's do this. And so,
I've had some clients, though, who found out they wanted to know what kind of work they were doing when they're sleeping at night. And, you know, when we're having all of these disasters, they are usually going there when they're out of the body and helping, you know, the people who are dying in all of these disasters and help them to find the way to the other side, because there's so many leaving at one time. They get confused and don't know which direction to go.
Yeah.
So a lot of these souls volunteer to help them from this side. You know, they can just take them so far, they can't go all the way, but they can at least steer them in the right direction. But they don't have any memory. All they know is they're pretty tired when they wake up.
Oh, yeah. I have dreams where I'm doing the same thing over and over and over all night long, and I wake up just beat. And, you know, most of the time it's performing some mundane function. And you know, I have remembered times when I've helped people like that, too. But, you know, we all are so powerful. It's just amazing, you know. And we run around these little lives here going, I don't understand why this doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's like, well, yeah, because, you know, when you're not in your body and you have your full faculties, anything happens with a thought. Just boom. It's done.
It's instant,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take any effort. You don't have to do things the hard way. And then you get back here in the body and, you know, it doesn't quite work the same way.
But have you noticed, we were talking about creating your own reality. See, the veil is thinning. Time is speeding up. Things are happening much faster. So finding out now, all we have to do is think something. This is what I want, what I desire. And it happens much faster than it used to.
Absolutely.
So your thoughts are powerful. They are what create. But, you know, a while ago when you were talking about your father, I was thinking of something that I have found out, because when we were asking about Alzheimer's, we were told that the energy is already leaving the body. The person is trying to go to the other side. That's why they aren't all totally in the body anymore.
That makes sense.
So that makes sense with what you were talking about with your father.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I can tell you, I've seen plenty of people being in the medical field who are not all there.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting to watch them, and I think that the pharmaceutical companies are doing a great disservice to people, because...
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I know that for sure, but, you know, it's really... it's one of those things where they're trying to drug you to stop having these forays into the other realities.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm always trying to steer my clients away from the doctors and over into the natural healing and the alternative healing. And I work with a lot of doctors who are fed up, and they're crossing over into the alternative field.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's really important, you know. And having been in allopathic medicine for most of my life, and then crossing into naturopathic,
yeah,
it was really interesting because the whole reason I left the allopathic world was because I kept saying there's got to be a better way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have the same guy come in five times for open heart surgery and say that there's no problem. And, you know, I mean, we used to joke about having a zipper put in with some of these patients. Because,
yeah,
you know, by the time they're back for the third one, you know they're not going to live very much longer. Each one takes, you know, a good portion of your life away because of the anesthesia and the major insult to the body.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, really difficult to watch that kind of stuff. And I started seeing too many things happen, you know, too many people maimed and killed by the medical profession. And I was looking around for something better. And when I found naturopathic medicine, I was like, hot damn, that's my kind of medicine.
Definitely. But that's why the doctors I have for clients, they tell me things that you don't really want to know. So I believe that. But, you know, I work with the healing, too. And when somebody comes in like that and they've had heart surgery or they're going to have heart surgery, any kind of surgery, I always tell them the body does not lie. It's trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You find out what it's trying to tell you, you don't need the surgery because you can take it away. You don't have to have all of this stuff.
Right. If you've got a headache and you keep getting a headache, figure out what's causing the headache.
Yeah.
You know, don't just keep popping pills. And, you know, like the times that I've been in pain when one of my friends has been around, they said, oh, well, I've got some aspirin. Oh, I've got this, I've got that. It's like, thanks, but I don't normally take that stuff. I'll take it if it's really, really bad and I have to perform. But if I don't, if I'm left to myself, you know, I just don't do that. I just go open up the vitamin cupboard and, you know, see what I can put together then. But, you know, it's strictly because I know that every moment that we are awake and alert inside of our bodies is vitally important.
Uh-huh.
And especially now, because we have the blending from the other side that's happening. We have more of a reality of who we really are than ever before. And so why would you want to drug yourself so that you can't notice that? You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is what the pharmaceuticals and you know, a lot of the doctors, they want this. When a lot of doctors are good, they are doing what they were taught. But they don't see this other side of it. But I've also had clients that work for the pharmaceutical companies, and they've told me horrible things that are going on, that you wouldn't want to take any of these drugs after you heard what they're really doing and why they're doing it. So
that's why
I tell people, think for yourself. Don't fall into this.
Yeah, I've been writing a series of articles on some of this stuff about Big Pharma being in bed with the FDA. And all this stuff is being found out now. And I just took on potatoes the other day because I had the strangest thing happen. I got some potatoes and they were soft. Now, I've been eating potatoes for 59 years.
Uh-huh.
I have never had soft potatoes. And if your potato starts to go bad, it just sprouts. And even then, it's hard. You know, and you stick the toothpicks in it and you stick it over a glass of water and it grows a potato bush.
Yeah.
And these potatoes were so strange. They had this real sweet kind of a yeasty smell, and they would grow the sprout about maybe half an inch, three quarters of an inch, and then all of a sudden it would stop. It never got green, and the potato like exploded, and there was a shiny foamy foam that came out of it, and it was just bizarre. And I was so shocked by this, and I went, 59 years, I've never seen a potato do that. Should I really
be
eating this?
Unless it was rotten, you know, whenever some of them get rotten, they'll do that.
No, it wasn't rotten. That's the thing. It was just, it was old, you know, but it wasn't rotten. And so I just kind of looked at this and I went, wow, that's really bizarre. So the next time I went to the supermarket, I asked the produce guy and he goes, I wouldn't eat any potatoes like that. And I said, what are you talking about? They came from here. I was at Safeway, you know, and I was going, okay, this is kind of scary. And so I looked into it, and it turns out that they've got all kinds of stuff, genetically modified stuff, that they have put into potatoes that's really scary. And so that's Monsanto and DuPont, you know, that own the patents and all that stuff. What they're trying to do is make a form of a film, like a acrylic film type of thing, and they want to make fibers and everything else. So they've genetically modified the potato to do that. Well, they're not supposed to be feeding those potatoes to humans.
Mm.
It's okay to feed them to animals, but they're not supposed to feed them to humans. But like
90%... But you feed them to animals, and then the people eat the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, so the question is, what's really happening with all that kind of stuff? In your sessions that you did with people, did they talk about the genetically modified foods?
Oh, yes. They said the human body is not designed to process anything that is synthetic. And it, they say the best food for anybody to eat is live foods. This mm-hmm. is what they recommend. Live foods, they mean fresh fruits and vegetables. And mm-hmm. organic, if possible, if you can get it.
But yeah,
they
say
the stay away from heavy meats, especially, because they are things added to them, too.
Oh, yeah, but now, I mean, when you look at 75% of all the food in the supermarket is not labeled as GMO, but it is GMO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty scary.
Are we running out of time, or do we have enough?
No, Seth said to go ahead and go over since we had the phone problem.
Oh, okay. So I was watching the clock. But let me.
Oh, yeah. We'll go about another 15 minutes if you're willing.
All right, because I just wanted to make sure we had to speed it up. Well, if we're on that subject, let me tell you what these people that I had for sessions who work for the pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. And this man, he wanted to get out. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He had to go all over the country, and he goes to all the doctor's office to collect data. Mm-hmm. And you know, the doctors are always giving you samples. They're always mm-hmm. pushing the pharmaceutical samples.
Right.
This is the reason why. He said they're told to do that, to push the samples. Okay, he goes to all the doctor's offices and collects the data. Because what is happening is they are experimenting on people.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they can do it is by, because they said it can take as long as 20 years to find out if a drug, what it will do, because that's what he's collecting, is the side effects of what happens to the people when you give them these samples. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll take 20 years before they'll know if a drug is safe or not. In the meantime, the people are being experimented on.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the way people protest about experimenting on animals.
I know.
But here they're experimenting on humans.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was working in the ER, we had a new drug that came out, and it was a calcium channel blocker, which has saved a lot of lives, you know. However, this particular drug, and the hospital I worked in was part of the drug trial. So they gave it to people, and it killed a lot of people. And so I think it peaked out at killing about 10,000 people a year.
Wow.
Which they consider to be nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
Oh.
Because they figure they saved, you know, a million people.
But that's part of the experiment, is finding out the side effects of things.
Right.
So it fits in with what he said anyway.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when I used to go out and do lectures on health, I would say, you know, you got to understand that medicine is not a science. It's a practice. That's why they call it the practice of medicine. That's why they call it the art of medicine. If you're really good at it, you're an artist, you know, and you can really help people. But it is in no way a science. And that's because things keep changing, because we just don't know enough about the body. And I tell people, you know, when I first went into nursing and we would have a code, you know, and everybody run out there with a crash cart, you know, and it was real exciting and everything, just like on ER. And the problem was that the things that we were doing, they were killing people. And we didn't know that. You know, nobody knew that. And after so many years, they went, hey, did you notice that every time we give them this medication, they never survive?
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, gee, you know, get a clue. So we stopped doing these things that we were doing. And, you know, that's how you learn. It's all trial and error and experimentation, which is all fine and good unless you're the one being experimented on.
Definitely. But see, that's why I try to steer them toward the natural medicine, because every drug has a side effect, but the herbs don't have any side effects. Of course, you have to know what herbs to give. But,
well, they have side effects, but they're not the same, because a side effect in a natural substance is not as severe usually, because it has maybe 200 other checks and balances in the plant.
Yes.
And
because
so you're
safe. There's something in that plant that counteracts any side effects. And they
right.
say the pharmaceuticals will take that plant and they will pull out the key ingredient and make it into a pill, but they don't also take the other parts that act as a counterbalance.
Right, because they have no idea what they're doing. Right.
Yeah, they don't know there is something in there in the natural plant.
Exactly. So that's the problem that we're dealing with. And, you know, I try to remind people, you know, drugs came from the plants.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, foxglove is the standard example, digitalis.
Yeah, digitalis.
You know, the reason they went to a pill was because they could give you a standardized dose. Whereas if they gave you the foxglove plant, well, maybe, you know, it was really grown during a drought season, and so it's concentrated, and so it might kill you.
Yeah.
You know, whereas maybe one that got too much water isn't going to be strong enough. And so
yeah.
they said, well, this is nuts, you know. So they started making drugs to give you the exact amount so that it could be titrated. Of course, they still kill a lot of people with it because it's the only one, it's one ingredient.
Yeah,
you know, it's digitoxin.
Doesn't have the other parts.
Right.
But let me tell you about a case I had, and I've mentioned it on my own show. This woman came to me a few months ago, and she had, her liver was so bad that they had her scheduled for a liver transplant. And she came to me to find out the causes and all, because naturally she didn't want to have a liver transplant. So when we did the session, and Bill, you know, this part that I talk to, I work with, it comes through and tells you all the answers. It came through screaming, loud and clear. It said, Tylenol, Tylenol, stop it, stop it, stop poisoning your body.
Mm.
And as we found out, they had her on Tylenol, and she'd also had another pain medication. And that was what was doing it. And they said, stop it right now, and the liver would return to normal. It would regenerate itself.
Yeah, livers regenerate quick.
And that was right at the time they came on TV and in the USA Today saying they'd found out Tylenol, and there was two other drugs. You probably know what they are. They were pain reliever drugs, have the same active ingredient. And that active ingredient is damaging to the liver. They said it's one of the worst things you can take for the liver.
Right, that's the acetaminophen.
Yeah, my daughter's a nurse, and she knew what it was, but I mm-hmm. couldn't remember the name. But they had that for a while, and they were going to recall it, and then all of a sudden, he stopped. You didn't hear any more about it. Well,
right.
That's what it was, but she went back to the doctor, and it was a month or so later, she emails me, and she said, when he was doing the tests over again with the liver and everything, scheduling her for the transplant, they were looking at her, and they said it was like looking at somebody else's liver. There was no disease. It was all gone. But she had stopped the poison, is what she called it. And,
well, yeah. And, you know, the other thing they can do is take alpha-lipoic acid, because that's the one thing that actually heals a damaged liver.
Uh-huh. But here you would think the doctors are shaking their heads saying, oh, boy, her liver's so bad, we're going to have to do a transplant, not knowing what they are prescribing is what's causing the same thing.
Right, because they've been brainwashed.
I know. To me, that's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, you know,
they're killing the people without, you know, well-meaning, but they're killing the people by giving them all these drugs.
I know, and you know, it's hard to get them out of that brainwashing, and that, you know, I firmly believe that the whole reason that they make them work, you know, 24 on, is so that they can't think. You know, they have to accept the party line, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And,
yeah.
you know, thank God some of them, when they get out, they start to think and go, wait a minute, you know, this isn't making any sense. But, yeah, I mean, all these things that are going on, I mean, I have to tell you, Dolores, I have been laughing my butt off lately, because the people that are trying to hide all these nefarious evils that they're doing are getting found out left and right.
Good, good.
And I am just enjoying the heck out of it. I am laughing so hard. And, I mean, they're like little cockroaches, you know. You move the rock and they're like, ah!
But, you know, that's why I said this whole swine flu fiasco is just, it's laughable, but they are determined to get everybody one shot. Now it's two shots. And I said, think for yourself, people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. There is
no, it doesn't. They've had a total of 14,000 deaths worldwide from the swine flu. And what they aren't telling people is that a good number of those deaths were people that took the vaccine.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped reporting that.
No, they're not going to tell anybody those things.
Right.
And now they're wanting everybody to take a second shot. But it's the same thing with the bird flu. Look, it came and went so fast and all of those things.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know, when you look at the normal flu kills like 500,000 people a year.
Yeah.
And so 14,000 is hardly a pandemic.
I know. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah, and when you consider that most of them, well, I don't know if most, but a lot of them died after they got the vaccine.
Yes.
That's, you know, and you consider the billions, with a B, billions of dollars that the pharmaceutical companies made by selling these to the governments, bankrupt governments, and they sold them this stuff anyway. And then the governments forced their citizens to get inoculated. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But see, you know, my daughter was a nurse. Well, she was in intensive care for 20 years, and then she got burned out, and then she became a home health care nurse. And she said she would go to the people's houses, and they were supposed to give these flu shots. This is back several years ago. Mm-hmm. And she said she noticed she gave the flu shot, well, they die afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, you can't tell me that it doesn't do something.
Oh, yeah.
They say, well, they were old, and that was what it was. It wasn't the shot.
Yeah, and they won't try to stop it either. You know, once you're old, they're like, oh, well, you know, they've lived their life. That's it. And yeah. I can't tell you how many patients I used to have that would come in like that. And I had a little old couple. They were so cute. They were 95. And they had found each other after they'd each been married 50 years to a spouse that died. And they found each other, and they were just so cute. And they came into my office, and they said, well, you know, we're old. And I said, you know, excuse me for not accepting that, but I think that you deserve to live your life to the fullest until the day that you decide to leave the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe that aging is normal. It's a disease.
I know it, because I'm going a mile a minute, and everybody keeps saying, you're supposed to be sitting home, you know, waiting to die. And I said, who says?
Oh, Dolores, I can't imagine you being that way. You know, I just can't. There's no way. I mean, that does not compute, you know.
Well, you know, I had a man come in the other day for a client. He was only 50. And he was talking about, I have all these aches and pains, but, you know, they come with age. And I said, who says?
Yeah. No, they actually come when you've done too much to your body and it can't recover.
I know, because I never get sick. I don't have any aches or pains, and I'm going all the time and traveling. And it's all a mindset is what it is. But also you find your passion. You find what you really, really want to do. You don't get sick and you don't age.
Yeah, and you don't get burned out. See, that's the thing. Like, I started thinking about all this in my own life lately and went, you know, I love doing the radio. I love getting to meet all these fascinating people, and I love helping listeners get their information.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, but there's a part of me, a creative part, that is not being satisfied.
Uh-huh.
And I know I'm supposed to be writing, so, you know, I had to figure out, you know, what had to be. And, you know, the other thing I'm doing right now is I'm making these ritual artifacts. And I happen to be pretty good at it. And, you know, I was an artist long before I did anything else. And so I'm making these things out of crystals and feathers and leather and stones. And you know, I just love it. And I thought, you know, this is what I've been missing, is something that nurtures my creative essence.
Yes, you have to find, if you want to call it a hobby, whatever you want. But this is something they say in a lot of my sessions. They tell the person, stop and smell the roses. They said, bring joy into your life. Relax. You don't have to keep going all the time.
Yeah, and now don't do something just for money.
Yeah. Just do it because just to relax and not, you don't have to be doing something all the time. They said, bring joy into your life.
Yeah, and that's really good advice. And, you know, I mean, I had to learn how to relax myself because I wasn't raised that way. But you know, once I learned it, really good. I know how to relax now.
I just did a cruise about a week ago, and I didn't think I was going to be doing. And usually when I go on a cruise, it's to lecture. But it was fun just to sit on the top deck and relax and watch the water and not have to think about anything. No TV, no emails, no phones. You can get away from everybody.
See, that's the other thing. I'd like to go take more cruises and, you know, do some lectures. And I really need to get my books out. I was talking with my sister, and she said, don't you think it's about time that you were appearing on other people's radio shows? And I went, you know what, that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, I can have you on mine then. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Well, hopefully I'll get my...
I've been doing all day, I write at night.
Yeah, I write throughout the day because I write in sound bites. I'll do like 15, 20 minutes. And then when it gets real quiet, like the first part of the morning I'll write, and then in the evening, depending on how the day goes. But I'm always, you know, doing so many different things and running around, and so I don't always get to write at night. But I find that the experiences that we've been given, some of us have truly lived, you know, 15 lifetimes in one life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it kind of came to me a long time ago that I needed to be a writer because I had so many people that would look at me and say, you should write a book. And I looked at other people's lives, and when I went back to my 40th high school reunion last year, I kept asking everybody that I saw, do you have a normal life? And they looked at me like I was crazy. You know?
What is normal, really?
Yeah, and some of them said, yeah, I think I have a pretty normal life. But you know what? The majority of my classmates say no, and I've often wondered why not. And so I think maybe we were a government experiment or something, because the people in my class were, I mean, they're all different. There's quite a few radio jocks that are there. There were, you know, a few doctors, a bunch of lawyers. But a bunch of people that took different ways, you know, and it was not your normal, you know, get married, have 2.5 kids, you know, that type of stuff. 2 cars in the garage.
I've been there, done that part. I feel like I've lived many lives in this life because it's always changing.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, me too.
You find what you want to do and that's it. But is it okay if I tell people, I'm leaving next week. I'm going to be in Hawaii. It's old dawn. I'm getting away from this snow. But I want to be in Hawaii on the island of Kauai.
Oh, I love Kauai.
It's not Hawaii. It's Kauai, the other island. Mm-hmm. And on the 17th, Wednesday, I'll be doing a lecture there. And then on that weekend, 19th to the 21st, I'll be doing one of my classes where I teach my technique. So I want to be there next week. If anybody is interested, check out my website if they want to come to the classes or whatever. And the website is Ozark Mountain, because that's the name of my company, and it's abbreviated, OZARKMT.com. They can find out the details about the class.
Awesome.
And then I come back, I go direct from Hawaii to Laughlin, Nevada, where I'll be speaking at the UFO conference there. So I'm starting again. This during the winter is the only time I get to stay home. Now I've got to back on the road again.
Okay. Well, it's nice weather out here right now. And, you know, it probably will be. And, they say it's not going to get too hot, though, until about May, but I don't know. It's usually about 105 by the time April hits, and Laughlin's about the same.
I don't like Arizona. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, Nevada's
right now,
the same way.
Right now, we're sitting here right now with a foot of snow, so we're snowed in.
Oh, wow.
That's why it'll be good to get out of here to go where it's warm anyway.
Absolutely. Well, Dolores, I thank you so much for being on tonight and for explaining some of the sessions that you've done.
Yeah.
You know, I think it helps to give people hope.
Yeah, and we never know where these interviews are going to go, so we just go with the flow, and this was probably the way it was supposed to go tonight.
Yeah, I think people just needed to get a little bit of reassurance, you know,
uh-huh.
and to keep the chin up, you know.
Yeah.
That's really, really important.
Well, I always tell people to think for yourself, ask lots of questions, and then make up your own minds.
Right, and don't give in to the fear.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. You've got to release fear. Don't buy into fear. Fear is a paralyzing emotion. Don't buy into fear and get rid of karma. Those are the two things you've got to do so you can move on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had a friend over, and he was sitting there, and he said, there's this huge wave of fear that's coming right through here now. He said, are you afraid of something? I said, nope. I said, they aim that at us all the time.
Yeah.
And he said, well, okay, why? And I said, because they just like to mess with you. You know, they're trying to generate fear. And I said, I just tell people, don't pay any attention to it. Because if you're doing something and you're happy or you're occupied and all of a sudden you have this unrational fear, then it's not yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's being beamed at you. It's probably being beamed across the whole city or the town or whatever. And they're doing that on purpose to keep you on edge so that you can't look at what's really happening.
Yeah, because I have people tell me all the time, what do you think about the economic crisis? Oh, everything is so horrible. Everything is so bad. I said, oh, yeah? Where? I'm not having these problems. So
well,
it's what you buy into.
Yeah. And, it, you know, really, I mean, I keep telling people, you know, look around you and see what you actually have. You know, are you being provided for? And maybe it's not to the style that you've become accustomed to, which is my complaint. I shake my fist at the universe, you know. It's like, all right, show me what I got to do here.
They've told my clients time and time again, have we ever let you down? So
yep.
They take care of you if you let them.
Exactly. You have to let them.
I had one client that one of her questions was, why can't I hold on to money? And they said, because you're not supposed to. Money is energy. It's supposed to come and go. It's supposed to go with the flow. So everything is happening in divine order. It's all happening the way it's supposed to. Once you start looking at it that way, you'll find out it isn't really as bad as you think it is. You're being taken care of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I have been telling people for the last couple of months, be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm certainly grateful for what I have. I have a roof over my head. I have food. You know, I have friends and family and kitties. And you know, for the most part, I'm enjoying myself. And you know, the money may not be rolling in the way I'd like it to, but you know.
I can remember when my husband was in Vietnam, and I had four little kids trying to take care of them at very, very little money. You only lived on an allotment in those days. We didn't have anything, but yet we were happy. We were doing the best we could while he was on board ship and gone. And later, the kids said, they talked about those times, they said, you know, we don't ever remember being hungry. We were happy. We didn't know we were poor. So it's all in how you relate to it and how you buy into it. And you do the best you can, and you learn from it. That's the main thing.
Yeah, because when we come out of these bodies, folks, I'm here to tell you, six near-death experiences later, that, you know, you're going to look at what you did. And if you didn't do what your inner knowing prompted you to do, and you didn't learn the lessons you were supposed to learn, then guess what? You're coming back.
Come back and doing it again.
Mm-hmm. And you'll do it over.
They're out of the body, and they said, oh, darn, why didn't I do it when I had a chance? Now I got to come back and start over again.
Exactly.
It's not, they're not very happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. I keep telling people, listen, suicide's not the way out either, because then you're going to have to come back and really work at it.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, so like, you know, just get it done now, you know, just buck up and get it done and just do the best that you can and really pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening around you.
It's all you're expected to do is just do the best you can. You mm-hmm. can't work on all of it at one life. Just do as much as you can, and then the rest can wait till the next time. But all you're expected to do is just the best you can, and don't hurt anyone or take away from anyone.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fine.
You know, and I think, well, I hope that that has made things clear for some people. It's not as complicated as they try to make it.
It's not, not really. And yeah, everything just, that's happening in their life, they have put there. They really look at it that way.
Yeah, and they'll be surprised. You know, people often are. They get on the other side, and they have no idea that that what we've been telling them is true. And then they go, "Well, look at that."
But if you're not happy with your situation, then say, okay, why did I create this? What was I trying to learn?
Look right, at it and then learn it and then change
angle.
It.
Yeah, look at a different angle, and then you can change it. You can.
Yeah, it's all in the allowing.
Yeah.
You know, you just allow it to be. Like I was just telling my friend today, I said, you know, I tried like hell to get out of Sedona. You know, it won't let me go. And I keep leaving, you know, and then I come back and I keep thinking, you know, I need to go someplace else. And then it's like, nope, you know, you're not going anyplace. And I think, okay, that's kind of interesting. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, there's just things that maybe we wouldn't take the time for. Like if I moved someplace else, although I live, you know, half the time in Nevada too, but, you know, if you go someplace new and exotic and different, then you're not going to take the time to work on yourself because you've got too many things you have to do. You know, you got to get out in the community, you got to get known, you got to, you know, see who's a friend and who's a foe, you got to, you know, set up your stuff, and, you know, it just takes a lot of time. And one thing I've realized in my own life this last year has been, you know what, it's time to really look at me and what it is that I'm accomplishing in the world.
Uh-huh.
And to really really have those revelations come out. And it's been an amazing year for revelations. Amazing.
Well, like I said, time is speeding up. Things are changing. The veil mm-hmm. is thinning out. So we're coming to these points in our life. And it's very important that you recognize that.
Yeah. And, you know, stop and smell the roses. Don't worry about, you know, the money. Find ways to decrease your bills, get rid of things, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pass on the stuff that you're not using to someone that needs it. You know, sell the toaster on eBay, you know. Whatever you got to do, because, you know, it's really all about you.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, where are you going? You know, what's your destination, and what do you want to experience on your trip to that destination? And really, the destination is the completeness of your soul.
Uh-huh.
It's the real you. And, you know, I'm trying to get there just as fast as I possibly can. And,
well,
you know,
you cross over, you're not going to be able to take any of these material things with you. So you better, you know, enjoy them while you got them, but that shouldn't be your main goal.
Right. And so, you know, do you really need a new car? Do you really need, you know, the newest fashions? Do you need to be seen, you know, out in public, you know, at society events? I mean, what is it that you really need in your life? I mean, for me, I need my life to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I need good friends. And I need fascinating things that keep me going. And so I oftentimes ask people to write down, what is it that you really need in life? I mean, serious, not what you want. What do you need? What nurtures your soul? What makes it possible for you to go through life? And then cut everything else out. And, you know, life becomes simpler. Then you don't need as much money. You know, you don't need to, to stress yourself out so much. You know, go find a job you can do that you really love. And if it's what you're supposed to be doing, you'll get the job.
Oh, yes. But this all falls in with the work I'm doing now anyway, that, you know, I've been there, done that. We've had hard times, but we survived, and that's the important thing. And you learn to know what is important, really. So,
yep.
Well, maybe we've given the people out there something to think about. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I think so. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show, Dolores. It's always a delight. And once I get set up on the other place, I'll have to have you on to tell us the newest stuff again.
Well, thanks for asking me. And I'll probably be contacting you, and maybe I'll have you on my show.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll let you know
It'd be after I get back from these trips, because now I start in again.
Okay. Yeah, no problem, because I got to finish the books, and that's one of my main things. Is I want to get I have my novels ready to go, so I really want to get that finished and get my book proposal out there. And
yeah,
and you know, I'm doing the first revision right now, and I've got a couple other books. I wrote one on the quantum vortex that I'm going to self-publish because it's a small niche market.
You know, when you self-publish, you can't get it in the bookstores.
Well, I can if I go put it in there myself. And,
only if you contact one and go for a book signing. Otherwise, they can't buy from you. They're not allowed.
Huh. Well, so, that doesn't bother me any, because it's such a small niche market that want to know about the quantum vortex. That's why I'm going to self-publish it. But the novel, that would be different.
As you know, I've got my own publishing company, and we have all these people constantly contacting us. And I said, well, you're going to find out the heart, you know, you'll learn.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's changed now in that way, too. But anyway, I wish you luck in whatever you want to go into.
Thank you so much. And I wish you great fun with your life, and just keep on keeping on, you know?
Yeah. Well, live your dream. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. That's good advice. All right. Thanks so much, Dolores.
All right, and good night, everybody.
Yep, thank you so much, listeners. We've been talking with Dolores Cannon, and her series, Convoluted Universe, is a real eye-opener. So please do pick that up if you can, and give it a look-see. It's just amazing. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Good night.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Awaken, awaken, awaken.